Get my timer going here. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 17, it says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll get it together. I forgot that this is set for Brother Stacy Taylor. And he's so short, I want to raise it up so it'll... All right, I got it set for the taller person. All right, we're talking about the lost art of gratitude today. Every good, perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Aren't you thankful today that God gives good things to His people?
Amen.
Well, we thank You for the service today. And we feel the intention of Your Spirit and the direction of Your Holy Ghost and what You are calling and pulling us to today. And we also feel the turmoil and the weakness of the flesh and the struggles that we're having within ourselves to respond to what You are calling us to. But as we continue in worship and as we continue in the Word, I pray that You would unlock some things in us and reset some things in our hearts and spirits and minds. And let us leave this place restored, full of hope and gratitude in You, in the name of Jesus. If you want the Lord to restore your gratitude, would you say amen?
Amen.
God gives us good things to bless us and fill us with His joy. Do you know that we live in the only known habitable planet in the universe? And we are members of this wonderful planet, and we are the highest life form on this planet. And our planet is filled with the most astounding things. God created the world, this beautiful world that we live in. And He placed us here and gave us the gift of life. And if that wasn't enough, He gave us authority over every creature. And what's more than that, He fills our lives with pleasures and increases our knowledge and makes us beacons of life and hope. Psalm chapter 8, beginning at verse 3, and I'll prove to you that what I'm saying is true. I don't just say things to be saying things to you. I don't just say things because they sound good. I'm laying a foundation for what's to come. God is a good God, and He gives good things to His people. And He put us in the only known habitable planet in the galaxy and made us the premier owners of this planet. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You care for him? Yet You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." We have a lot to be thankful for today. "And You have given him dominion over the works of Your hands and have put all things under his feet." See, I wasn't just saying that. That's Bible.
Right.
"All sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all of the earth. How can we be anything but mesmerized and awed by what God has done? How can we have any other reaction than to burst out in laughter and praise? How can we think we are anything otherwise but fortunate and blessed to be alive?"
Amen.
The reality of it is, despite all the good things God pours out in our lives, we tend to be ungrateful, angry, hateful, vengeful, and cynical. I know there are terrible things on the earth. I know that there are destructive storms, contagious disease, biting things filled with venom and ferocious beasts. And our bodies suffer with all sorts of maladies. Our minds are overrun with anxiety. We are angry, sick, depressed, and lonely. What is wrong with us? The world, the saying says, is truly our oyster. But we couldn't be troubled to dig our knife in and pry it open. Because we figure it's too much trouble. We want someone to shuck our corn and cut it off the cob and serve it to us on a silver platter. We throw a fit if we have to wait in line for 5 minutes. And don't get me started about the toilet paper shortages. I mean, you walk down the aisle, you just want to do a Joe Biden. Come on, man. We have lost the subtle art of gratitude. But we do not have to stay that way. We can relearn the habits of gratitude, and we can reclaim the joy we have lost. And I want to share with you 10 biblical practices to renew our attitude of gratitude in this hour that we need it. Amen.
Amen.
You need to hear this today. I need to hear this today. Why? Because I've been grouchy lately. No grouch. Mad about this and angry about that and upset about this and complaining about that. I need to hear this today. I need to preach this today, and so do you.
Amen. Come on now. Yes.
Because we can't just give in to the spirit of the age.
Right.
And it's as old as human beings that walk the earth. We said it in our Bible class today, but I'll say it again in Romans chapter 15, I believe it was, that the apostle, maybe it was Romans chapter 1 on that one, that the apostle Paul talked about how that in the ancient people that walked the face of the earth, they knew God, but they refused to glorify Him and refused to be thankful for the things that they had. We can't give in to the spirit. But we have to fight back against the spirit of the age. It is on us to be thankful and build a surplus of gratitude in this world. God is listening. And I wonder today what He hears. The first thing that I want to mention, the first biblical practice, is to develop creative ways to say thank you. Look at your neighbor and say thank you. Develop creative ways to say thank you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Did you know that on average people say thank you 2,000 times a year? That's an average of 5 times a day. But a lot of those thank yous are throwaways. We need to get creative with our thank yous and make our thank yous count. When you're texting, how many of you know in the new texting apps on your phone that when somebody says something, give you a piece of information, it gives you a little texting prompt saying, thanks, thank you. Sometimes thank you with an emoji. We need to throw an emoji in to our thanks sometimes. Add a wow, thank you so much. And use those good synonyms like appreciate what you did. And maybe even break down and add the thank you, Sister Deborah. That was so nice of you to do that. Thank you. But too many times we have this awkward, mumbling, emotionless thank yous. And we feel entitled and begrudging attitudes. And we're like sometimes we can be like the publican, not the publican, but the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verse 11. Thank God I'm not a sinner like that other guy. We need to get creative with our thank yous and learn to not only say thank you more, but to say it in more creative ways that people understand and feel, yes, he really was, she really was thankful for that. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you for getting yourself up and getting yourself to church and put up the effort to come here with us and lift up Jesus. Amen. You made my day. I've been waiting for this day all week. How do you say thank you to somebody whenever you're not really thankful for it? My brother texted me the other day, and they know that I like turkey legs. And people get a little carried away sometimes, you know, with their thanks. And he wanted to know if I wanted a couple of turkey legs, and I said, no, thank you. But then I added this, but thank you for thinking of me. Amen?
Amen.
So many of the most important things that we do in life, so many of the most important things that we say in life are passing comments that communicate so much emotion and so much value and so much truth. And we cannot allow ourselves to take for granted those powerful things that we have a chance to say. Sometimes one little thank you can make all the difference in the world in somebody's life.
That's right.
And as you cultivate creativity, it cultivates an attitude of gratitude inside of you and makes you and me better Christians.
Amen.
Amen. We need to translate our thanks into English. Now, we're Pentecostal, okay? And so Pentecostals believe that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to speak in tongues in foreign languages by the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's in the book of Acts, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14. It's all right there. But if we're not careful as Pentecostals, we can get lazy in our praying, and it becomes easier for us to speak in tongues for the most of our prayers and skip the hard work of putting our praying into words. And I think sometimes, and yeah, when we're speaking in tongues, we're thanking and praising God, but there's something powerful about putting what you're saying and what you feel into words that you understand. It can be the most beautiful thing that you will ever pray in your life.
Amen.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? And I wonder sometimes, half the time, we don't even know what we're saying. And he says in 1 Corinthians 14, 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. Don't be lazy with your thank yous.
Amen.
To each other. Don't be lazy with your thank yous to God.
That's right.
Yeah. Let it fill. You know, we were praying here at the church a couple years ago, maybe two or three years ago now, and Brother Philip was praying over here, and I was praying over here. We had a young lady in the middle of us. And Brother Philip, you know, was speaking in tongues, and he was speaking in tongues like I had never heard him speak in tongues before. It was majestic. I mean, he could have been an orator in some college. I mean, his tongues were just beautiful. And the Holy Ghost come up on me, and I started praying in English. And instantaneously, I understood that I was interpreting everything that he said. And he was praying complex, beautiful, majestic tongues. And when I started, I wish I could have recorded what I was praying, because I don't think I've ever prayed so good in my whole entire life. The words that were coming out of me and the depth of the things that I was saying, I was just like, whoa. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Make your thank yous count. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. If you haven't been thankful, you haven't prayed. And if you haven't thanked God, your prayers are lacking in the power that they could have.
Amen.
Number two, give sincere compliments versus flattery. And this, I think, speaks for itself. But sometimes we get caught in the trap of trying to manipulate people by saying nice things to them. It says in Jude, verse 16, these are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. We need to learn to be thankful for things that matter. We need to learn to have killer compliments. Ones that are spontaneous. That when somebody does something or says something that impresses us and moves us, that right there on the spot we express thanks and we explain to them why you are thankful. It can have a powerful impact on their lives. They begin to realize that what I'm doing makes a difference in the world.
That's right, amen.
Not this false flattery. Oh, you look so beautiful. And I know ladies tend to talk like that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What makes you beautiful? Thank you. Oh, sister, I can tell you really, you put your colors together. You know, I know this sounds kind of dumb, but we do that. We have a lot of throwaway compliments that don't mean anything to people, and they tend to flatter, and flattery just pushes them down further because they can't live up to what you're trying to create and put them up on a pedestal. And I'll tell you one thing, if people start flattering me, I'm like, what you want? Come on, tell me you're not like that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, 29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We need to compliment the people that are blessing us in our lives, people that we see working hard, people that we see doing a good job, people that we see living a life. Let them know that we see it and we appreciate it. Number three, think of others first versus selfishness. We're talking about the art of gratitude. The first words out of a grateful person's mouth are these two words, thank you. The next words out of their mouth is going to tell you exactly what they're thankful for. Think of others first. This is such a tough one. You hear it in people's conversations, and you can tell in the conversation, if they talk like this, they're going to be struggling with gratitude. If they're always talking about themselves, and they're always focused on themselves, they're going to struggle with gratitude.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 15, verse 2, it says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. A grateful person doesn't need to be built up because they know they've been built up. And a grateful person, when they see you, they're ready to build you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Think of others first. You know, sometimes it's good when you're talking with people to just zip the upper lip and the bottom lip together. And pull the wax plugs out of your ears and listen to them for a change. And let them tell their stories and bask in the glory of what God is doing in their lives. But what if my neighbor doesn't appreciate what I do for them? What if they are ungrateful toward me? Well, then welcome to the club. It said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. A grateful person is more like God. Because God hears people whining and complaining, but yet He still blesses them with breath.
Right.
God hears people mumbling and murmuring, but yet He still gives them strength. He still feeds them. He still gives them opportunities for repentance.
Right.
And so when you're dealing with somebody that's not appreciative of what's going on in your life, think of others first. Be like God and pour out the goodness on them despite their ungratefulness. How are they going to learn gratitude? How are they going to learn what they should do if you just mirror their activities all the time and you're just as ungrateful for their ingratitude? Number four, share willingly instead of hoarding and being greedy. Amen. Share willingly instead of hoarding and being greedy. When we help the less fortunate, it leads to a generous spirit. Even when you're struggling, you know, even when you're struggling, going through hard time, you can still share.
That's right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I was at the house of two retired men, brothers, living together yesterday, and we've been blessed with, I didn't have to go out and hunt or do anything, but I got me a 10-point buck, hallelujah. And I mentioned to my friend a month or two ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, that we had deer, and he's like, oh, I'd like to get some of that. And so we got a fresh one all cut up into different pieces. I picked it up from the locker, and I couldn't even fit it all in my freezer. And I remember in the... Hold on. What happened?
It quit some time ago.
Oh, that's just... Okay, forget it then. Well, hallelujah. It's supposed to run for 31 minutes. It's only been 21 minutes. What did I tell the adult Bible class today? Hallelujah. I got a piece of metal in the truck. Hallelujah. You know what you use hammers for, don't you? That's how you fix your technology. Bless God. Praise Jesus. And the story, so I was kind of feeling a little bit lazy and I was studying stuff. I didn't really want to get out, but I needed to do some things there. So I got dressed and I texted him. I said, "Do you still want some of that deer meat?" And he texted me back. He said, "My mouth has been watering ever since you told me." And so I bagged up some of the good stuff and brought it over to them. And they've been getting food from our food giveaway. They still had some of the boxes there. And we were chit-chatting. They were bragging about how good the food is that we've been giving them. The one guy, the crackers that you can't get rid of. He's like, "Man, I love them crackers." And he said, "I just there and eats them all day." He said, "Well, he won't eat anything else. So he eats them crackers." But here I am trying to bless them. And then they started pointing out that somebody brought by some kind of basket, had cheese and stuff in it. And they were like, "Yeah, we've got all that there. But they've got chocolate covered pretzels, but we won't eat those." And I was like, "Do what?" I said, "Did you say chocolate? Hallelujah." "Well, don't let them go to waste, brother. I'll take them." Isn't it amazing, though? I can tell you for a fact that they don't even have money to put gas in the vehicle that they've got sitting in the driveway and even pay the insurance on it. But yet they were willing to share with me when I actually came there to share with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Sometimes when God blesses us and our vats are overflowing with wine, we forget that that we should share what we have, and we get to thinking of that it's all for us. Jesus told the parable about a man that way, and his barns were so full, he had so much harvest that he couldn't even fit them in his barns. And he said, man, I'm going to tear down these little barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to fill those bigger barns up, and I'm going to say to myself, soul, kick back and take it easy. You've got it made in the shade. And Jesus said in his parable, God spoke to the man. He said, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and whose will those things be? And that's what an ungrateful, ungratitude, unthankful heart will do. Try to hoard more for itself. Amen. Especially when we're blessed with an overabundance, we can start looking down our noses at other people. Why is it that those who are the hardest up seem to be the most generous and thankful? We've got to learn and remind ourselves and develop this skill to share freely and willingly. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. It said, one gives freely, it grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. I want a blessing to rest on my head and on my life, and not a curse. Amen. We do that by sharing what we have with others. Number five, accentuate the positive instead of constant complaining. Accentuate the positive instead of constant complaining. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh, if there's anything more irritating to God than a grumbling saint, I don't know what it might be. Oh, well, I'm thankful for what I have. Well, why are you complaining so much? Come on now. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. It doesn't mean that you are not aware of the negative things, but what it means is you ignore them and you go on about your day, and instead of focusing on the darkness and focusing on everything that's wrong in the world, you focus on what's right. You focus on God. You focus on the blood and the cross of Jesus. You focus on His grace. You accentuate the positive, because if you catch yourself complaining and mumbling and grumbling, it's time to take a step back.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, church, but that's why it's called an art. Gratitude is a skill that we cultivate, and it takes practice how to learn to put a check on our thoughts and our words. And finally, at number five, Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Sometimes I think we need to stop and look at people as supposed to know better and say, you need to be more thankful for what you have. Sometimes we just need to tell people. There's an awful lot of complaining going on in here. We get kind of thick in here. Time to be a little more thankful. Number six, strive to be better instead of making excuses. Strive to be better instead of making excuses. In our world today, we're drowning in personality assessments. We are more aware of our strengths and weaknesses, but more unlikely to use that knowledge to our advantage. We know more about ourselves, but we don't do anything to use it to make ourselves better. Instead, we say things like, well, it's just my personality. Or we say, well, that's just the way I am. I had one dear saint complain on the phone to me one time because I wouldn't back down. I'm not the type of person to back down to irrationality. And I'm not the type of person to back down to narcissism. I'm not the type of person to back down to irrational things and to lies and to twisting of truth and to all kind of backwards thinking that are not conducive to a Christian. I'm not one to back down. And this person was finding that out in painful ways as I let them know time and time and time and time and time again. You're not right. You're not the way you need to be. And they complain, you're trying to change who I am. And you know what I said immediately? I absolutely agree with them. I said, you are correct. That is my job, to make you less like yourself and more like Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews said, go on to perfection. Peter said, well, I'm glad you're saved. Now add to your faith some things.
Amen.
Paul said, we're being changed into His image. We're growing up into Him in all things. When we use the way we are as an excuse to improve or to deal with sticking points in our relationships and in our faith, what we're really saying is, I'm ungrateful that God made me like this, or whatever. When we're unthankful for the way God made us, then we use our bad behaviors as an excuse instead of using them as a test to train us to be more like Jesus. Instead of using our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, we need to use it as a springboard of courage to challenge the status quo in our lives. Can you imagine me going around saying, that's just my personality? Do you have any idea what my personality is? Can you imagine? Can you imagine me just saying that all the time? Well, that's, you just have to deal with it. You just have to deal with it because that's just the way I am. Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, first of all, I'd probably be divorced. My kids probably would never talk to me again. I wouldn't be preaching anymore. Because y'all would run me out of here on the first train that went by. Can you imagine that? No, friend, you get in the prayer closet and you say, Jesus, make me more like you. You get in the prayer closet and you say, Jesus, I don't want to make excuses for the way I am. But I'm stuck here and I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. Brother Stacy, you get in the prayer closet. Amen. And let Jesus work on you and fix you and make you who you should be.
Yes.
Make you who you were created to be. Brother, one of the personality assessment things, and I'm getting a little bit off, but I'll get back on here in a minute. One of the little personality assessment things to do, it's called the Enneagram. And this one website says, and this is what you're like when you're unhealthy. You ever notice that two people that have the same exact personality can act totally different? They can take the same test and have the same personality and act totally different. Why is that? Because there's a healthy you, there's an average normal you, and then there's a supercharged healthy you. You don't have to be like that. Your personality isn't something to lean on like a crutch. Your personality is something for you to harness, amen, like an engine is put up inside of a vehicle. It's for you to harness like a trailer is hitched up to a pickup truck. And for you to pull and do some work in the world. God called you. He created you. He saved you. He designed you to have a positive impact on the world. To shine a light in the darkness. To be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to get very much done whining and complaining and degenerating to all kinds of unhealthy, immature behaviors. We need to strive to be better. Thank God for the way you made me. Use it for your glory. Number 7, take care of your things instead of coveting. The ungrateful tend to let things fall apart around their ears. They are not happy with what they have, and they always want more, better, and different, and especially want what you have. There's nothing wrong with wanting better. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. But if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the spirit of materialism. That when you see somebody's got more than you, you'll strive to want more for yourself. And then when you finally arrive and you've got a fat, big fat bank account and a shiny reflective vehicle sitting in the driveway and a fancy brick house, you still won't be satisfied. When I say get better, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say get better, I mean less of me and more of Jesus. Less of me and more of Jesus. Right. Grateful people take care of their stuff. The first thing they take care of is themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Grateful people take care of themselves because they're thankful for their life. Ungrateful people live a life that just destroys their body. Take care, number 2, of your family. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Right. Instead of complaining about your family, you need to take care of your family. Instead of grumbling and murmuring, you need to love your family. It's a battle, folks. Don't think I don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the prayer is the tip of the spear in the spiritual warfare. And what you're going through, I've been feeling it for 6 months. What you're dealing with now, I dealt with 9 months ago. What the church is struggling with are the spirits of the age that are influencing our hearts and minds. The pastor's been battling it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Don't think when I'm preaching to this that I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't think when I'm preaching this that I don't understand what you're going through. I feel the same things and struggle with the same struggles. Amen. But we can fight back. We can train ourselves to be grateful. And we can rise up in a world of cynicism and unthankfulness. And we can raise the banner of Jesus Christ and the glory and grace of God and set an example for others to follow.
Amen.
Because people are following you one way or another. I could go home and yell at my kids, and believe me, there's times I want to. I could go home and yell at my wife, and believe me, there's times I want to. I could meet up with some of you, text some of you, email you some things, and believe me, there's times I want to. But it's not what I want. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. I don't want to be that kind of husband. My kids and my wife may be saying, well, hallelujah, I'd hate to see him if he's really like that. Friends, I know what the word implacable means. And I don't want to be like that. So sometimes I just shut up because I'm taking care of my family. If you ain't got something nice to say, what's that old song? If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all. Sometimes it's just good to shut up and listen and be thankful. It's a battle that we fight. It's a skill that we develop. And I'm telling you, it's not always going to be easy. But when you do it, Paul said to the church, I believe in Ephesus, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You want to pull down some strongholds in your marriage? Be more thankful for your husband or your wife. You want to pull down some strongholds in your family? Be more thankful for your children and your grandchildren. You want to pull down strongholds on your job? Be more thankful for your boss and your co-workers. You want to pull down some strongholds in the church? Be more thankful for your pastor and for the saints of God.
Amen. Right.
Who are the body of Jesus Christ. The third thing is take care of your possessions. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. And in Proverbs 27:23, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herd. Take care of the things that God has blessed you with in your life, and He will bless you with more. When you show yourself thankful and faithful over the little things, God will give you much. He'll make you ruler over much. Struggling to get ahead, it's time to start being more grateful for what you've got. Struggling to get more, it's because you're not taking care of what you have. Number 8. Seek out friendships versus isolating. And I know this is a long message today, and I told my wife, I said, I don't know, I've got about 900 pages up here out of it. Seek out friendships instead of isolating and brooding. Seek out friendships instead of isolating and brooding.
Right.
And I don't mean go find a bunch of negative people like you are and spend all day with them. We need to seek out friendships, but we need to seek out not just random people. We need to seek out people that will lift us up,
yes.
People that will show us, people that are living a greater life of gratitude. David said in Psalm 101:6, "My eyes will be upon the faithful of the land."
Yes.
We need to avoid the temptation to make everything about us. We're so self-centered, and we can't stand to be left out. And we despise it when someone is better at something than we are. And we're jealous and envious and privileged and vengeful for just a few minutes. Look upon your brother and sister with eyes of awe and be amazed at what God has created them to be. And let someone else be the star of the show. Seek out friendships instead of isolating and brooding. Become easy to please instead of being implacable. If you're never satisfied and you're constantly confrontational and always correcting everyone, then you are not going to have many friends. Hallelujah. I called a casual acquaintance of mine last month and talk to him. I'm creating a new network of peer mentors in my life. You know, friendships don't just happen by magic. And I told him, we were joking around, I said, I have to pay to have friends. I can't normal friends like everybody. I got to pay my friends to stick around because when I'm talking about other pastors and evangelists and such, because when I talk to them and deal with them and then I'm myself, Sister Stacy, like I am, then usually the friendships don't go very far. And he laughed. And then I sent him a $25 gift certificate. And he laughed again. Because his time was important to me. And it meant a lot to me that he would take the time to be kind and spend it with me. And that's not totally true. I mean, there's evangelists that they call me when they're coming home from revival from other places. And when they drive through Fairfield, they call me, I'm coming by your town, let's have breakfast together. And I've got pastors in the area that are friends, and they send me happy Thanksgiving. I still get Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's messages from the best man at my wedding 28 years ago. And another pastor just called me the other day and said, hey, let's get together and have lunch. And I thought, hallelujah, that's a record, Brother Dave. That'll be twice in 1 month. We just had lunch together. But what happened? I listened more, and I was grateful more, and I was building up. And when you have that kind of attitude, your friendship circle will begin to increase, and you won't have time for everybody that wants to be with you. Amen. Number 9, have mercy instead of being judgmental and holding grudges. Aren't we the judgmental sort? Amen. Have mercy instead of being judgmental and holding grudges. This is not something that always comes easy to us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. It goes against the grain of the carnal nature. When somebody has done something to hurt your feelings, when somebody has done something wrong, or when somebody has violated your expectations, when someone is not meeting your expectations, to look beyond those things and to love them anyway. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. This is a tough passage of Scripture. And he says the same sort of thing in Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So what does this mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Well, Brother Rob, that doesn't seem right. That we should cover up sin. That doesn't seem like that's not right to cover up sin. Love covers all offenses. That doesn't seem right, Brother Rob, that we should be covering up offenses. It may seem on the surface that these inspired writers are encouraging us to let people get away with things, but that is the furthest thing from the truth. Covering an offense is not letting it slide by, but it's dealing with it in a loving manner and covering it with forgiveness and mercy. Covering an offense is not ignoring it, but rather dealing with it in a biblical manner and then putting it in the past. And never bringing it up again. It's tempting to continue to bring those things up, amen? That is a spirit of ingratitude. And number 10. Everybody say 10. Hallelujah. 46 minutes, 4 seconds into it. Thank the good Lord. We made it to number 10. Number 10. Love to worship versus cynicism and carnal expectation. Love to worship versus cynicism and carnal expectation. Hallelujah. Psalm 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Jesus told the woman at the well of Samaria, the Father is looking for worshipers. Yes. Psalm 95, verse 1, oh come, let us sing to the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. There is no such thing as a grateful person who does not feel the need to worship. The grateful always bust out in exuberant praise to God for His many blessings. Hannah couldn't have a baby. Oh, and she prayed and she prayed. She was tormented and persecuted. And she prayed and she prayed. Friend, she came through the trial, Brother Stacy. Sister Deborah, she came through the trial. And the first thing she did after she had her baby weaned up, at just about the time she was giving him back to God. The Bible says she began to sing and exult and prophesy, and she praised God because she was thankful that she had a baby boy. And who knows, with this baby boy, maybe the one to crush the head of the serpent. She didn't care that she had to give him back. All she cared about was God answered my prayers, and she busts out in praise. The Bible said David, after years of being chased and persecuted by Saul, after years of living in Israel without all 12 tribes behind him, finally reached the day. He'd been through the lion, he'd been through the bear, he'd been through Goliath, he'd been through betrayal, and after there came a day when all 12 tribes came around him, and he was sitting on the throne of Jerusalem, and he began to bring the ark of God back in, and the Bible says he danced and praised before the Lord. When you are thankful, you will worship and praise with exuberance and abandon. Let's stand together today. Mary, verse 4. Musicians and worship team, would you come? Mary, verse 4. In ecstatic prose, whenever the angel told her, you are going to be the one to bring the Messiah, despite the fact that she wasn't married yet, despite the persecution and the negative things that people were going to say about her, the first thing she did was begin to praise and sing and worship God, that she had been chosen for the cause. And even the prophets told her that your heart is going to be pierced through with many sorrows, and that your son is going to be the cause of the rise and fall of many. But yet Mary was thankful, and she praised.
Amen.
And worshiped.
Yes.
Can you imagine what it was like when the mother of Jesus grabbed a hold of her son with the holes in his hands and the holes in his side and the scars on his forehead and on his back? Can you imagine, Sister Ashley, what Mary must have felt like after having watched her son hang and die on the tree, that she several days later was able to put her hands on him again? All the trial, all the tribulation, all the suffering was worth it. Every minute of pain, every minute of care and concern. And on the day of Pentecost, after having watched her son ascend into heaven, can you imagine? Can you imagine what Mary must be? Hallelujah. And then on the day of Pentecost, I wonder if anybody understood what had happened more than the mother of Jesus, Mary. When the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside of her. Is there anybody that understood it better than her?
Hallelujah.
Oh yes, I bore this child into the world. Oh yes, I watched him die on the tree. Oh yes, I saw him resurrected from the grave, and I saw him ascended into heaven. But this is something I never anticipated. And she was one of the 120 that spoke in tongues and magnified and praised God. But nobody understood like she did what was happening inside of her. The Spirit of her own Son Jesus came and dwelt inside. Can you imagine what the praise of Mary was? Got lost in the shuffle because of all the praises that were happening at that moment. Grateful people cannot help themselves. The art of gratitude is not completely lost, but we need to work at it.
Yes, yes.
Get it back where it needs to be. Dust off and sharpen our tools. Air up the tires in our bicycles. Knock the mud off our boots. Get a new pair of work gloves. And get back to working at gratitude again.
Amen.
Paul said to the church in Ephesus chapter 5 verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, and giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm ready to start preaching to you. Hallelujah. Why should we work on the art of gratitude? You'll be happier, wealthier, healthier, have more friends. They've studied this, Sister Jennifer, haven't they? Scientists have studied this. They did all kinds of studies. They've created programs and everything. Grateful people reach a pinnacle of happiness and health. It increases every good thing that you want in life. Everything that you could possibly want from life, gratitude increases it incrementally and in some cases exponentially. Why would I do that? How many of you love the feel of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that gratitude will make you feel the Holy Spirit more?
Yes. Right.
How many of you like it when God answers your prayers? Yes. Gratitude will make Him answer your prayers more. Let's bow our heads together today. Sister Stacy leads us in worship. When we meditate on these things that we have heard, let's make up our minds right now. Whatever condition or state that we may be in, how it may painful it may seem to us, that we are going to get back to working on a lost art of gratitude in our hearts, in our minds, in our words, in our actions, in our attitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's make up our minds right now as we say,